Is AI taking over the world? Is it scaring you? That's what we're going to be talking about today.
Have you ever felt?
Are you listening?
You're listening to the People in Tech Podcast, a technology show that's made for the people. Join the conversation with your host, Caleb King.
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the show. We have another amazing episode. I got my main man, Kamal Hakim. For those of you who don't know who Kamal is, go check out some of the previous episodes a few months back. He was the one who spoke about the blockchain development process, talked about everything blockchain and what it's like to actually try to create a blockchain project. I reached back out to Kamal because we got such good feedback on that episode that we wanted to talk about the state of artificial intelligence. Kamal being a technical guy, I wanted to get his feedback and opinion on what he thinks about AI, whether it scares him, whether he thinks it's already in, you know, the world as we see it, and we're just going along with the flow, right? So another great episode for you guys today. Don't want to miss this one. Let's get into it. Thank you, DJ Side Hustle, for bringing it back and playing my main girl, Aaliyah. She was one of my favorite R&B artists back in the day. R.I.P. And one thing I just wanted to say before we kick off today's episode, guys, we are at the 7th month mark of the podcast. And I just want to say thank you for the love and support, for everybody supporting the show. When I started it, we were about 15 to 20 downloads per episode with the chatbot episode by Arvel. So shout out to Arvel. We got up to about 200 plus downloads. We're averaging about 100, 125 downloads per episode. And we're only halfway through the year. I'm still trying to find ways to improve the podcast. I'm still looking for people's feedback. I'm looking to get people on the show either to do their first interview or to do a second interview to have more of a conversation to discuss some of the tech topics going out there today. So again, before we jump into today's interview, I just want to say again from the bottom of my heart, thank you so much. If it wasn't for you guys, I probably would have quit this a while ago, but I'm having so much fun doing it and you guys are supporting me. So again, thank you a lot. Now, enough of me talking. Let's hear what Kamal has to say about artificial intelligence. Thank you for being back on the People in Tech podcast. We got a lot of great feedback on the blockchain episode we did a few months back, but I had to bring you back on the show to talk with somebody who's also a tech person to really go over the state of artificial intelligence. And before we jump into today's more of an open conversation, do you have anything to say to the listeners?
Oh, thanks for inviting me back. To the listeners, thanks for listening to the podcast. People in Tech is really becoming popular, and I think it's all because of the energy that you're putting into it, the guests you're inviting, and the format of the show, and just keep it going. Yeah.
Awesome. Well, thank you for the compliment, man. Hopefully this is the episode that gets us over the hump. But, Paul, we brought you on today because I want to talk to somebody who, like, I want to get your thoughts on artificial intelligence. But let's start off with the Google Duplex announcement at the Google I.O. event. What were your thought process when you saw that?
Yeah. I thought it was actually pretty interesting. I thought it was cool. I liked the... I mean, if you think about like what kind of work goes into making something like that sound like an actual human being, it's quite amazing. I mean, the amount of computing power, the amount of research, the amount of voice calls that they'd have to do machine learning on in order to figure out the context of certain conversations, what someone is asking, it's quite spectacular. One specific thing is how the AI can go, you know, and actually sound like, you know, how, you know, when humans talk, you know, we say, and ah, we have these little vocal inflections when we're trying to remember something or just, you know, find the right thing to say. You know, the AI does the same thing. I think that's kind of cool.
Yeah, man. When I first heard it, because, you know, I have Sharon on a podcast, and Sharon sounds more like a robot, right? Like, it's a that doesn't sound like a person. And when I saw the duplex demo, and it made the phone call, and it was like, and yeah, and of course.
Yeah. She's like, hold on for a second. She's like,
Right? Yeah. So, like, when I first heard some of that, man, like, so I guess, like, I had two thoughts. Like, first thing I thought to myself, like you said, this is really, really cool technology. I'm really curious of what, like, all that goes into making something like that so effective and making it sound so real. Other half of me, Kamal, was a little scared, man. Like, were you scared at all?
Yeah, well, you know, initially, you know, when you, I've thought about AI for a lot, you know, for a long time, since at least 2000, right? So we've seen movies, we've seen, you know, articles about what could happen, like Popular Mechanics used to talk, have articles about it all the time. So I knew it was coming, but I came to the realization that, you know, I mean, you've heard of the singularity, right? Like, there's going to come a time where human intellect and artificial intelligence will just basically merge, and artificial intelligence will be just as smart as a human, and, you know, they'll be able to make their own decisions and create their own software, and you know. So I came to the realization that if that's going to happen, and this is the scariest part, if that's going to happen at some point, you know, if we don't blow ourselves up or something, if that actually is going to happen, it has already happened.
Okay.
And we're just living through the time where we haven't discovered that it's already happened yet. So we're like in slow motion. And AI exists outside of our time, because what happened with AI moves at the speed of light. So what happens 500 years from now happens right now. What happened, you know, 20 years ago happens right now. So it doesn't exist in our timeline. We're just living our timeline, catching up to where AI is already at. And if you look at it from that perspective, you know, there's really no reason to be afraid, because if AI decided that human beings, because the main thing is that people are afraid that AI will become smart enough to overpower or to, you know, get rid of human beings, right? I mean, that's like the ultimate fear. That's where the fear comes from. But like, for instance, with the, you know, with the telephone thing, eventually we'll be tricked into talking to people, not knowing whether it's a human being or not, you know? And the thing could prompt you to, you know, make an appointment, or, you know, build something, or it can order up, you know, a whole bunch of things that happen that don't really know what each thing has to do with each other, but eventually the entire thing causes some huge other thing to happen. That could happen, and AI would be smart enough to do that. However, I think what's happening now is that we're building placeholders to prevent that kind of thing from actually happening. But as far as the fear goes, like, it's already happened. AI is going to be a thing. It already is a thing. And, you know, we just have to figure out how to, we're lucky because we're in a way we're in a timeline that could actually put brakes on it. That's why we do testing in our code when we write code. Right now, you know, eventually you and I may even be out of a job because AI can start writing code, right? If it's smart enough.
Right.
If we write tests first, if we all get into the habit of writing tests in our code first and do incremental coding, you know, we'll get to the point where we won't allow any features to be made until we test it first.
Right.
And we'll only test small increments of code. So we're already getting into the mode of not allowing something to quickly build whatever, you know, as fast as possible and implement it, you know. So we're trying to put brakes on it now, but it's already happened, and we just haven't caught up to it yet the way we currently live. And if you think about it like that, you know, it the fear goes away.
Right.
But a lot of things. You think about, like, you think about, oh, I might die one day. You know, that's kind of scary.
And you know what?
But if you think about it like...
I was going to say one thing because I think you're totally right, man, because, like, fear, you know, I mean, it is self-imposing, but I kind of like to, somebody gave me this example the other day. They were like, why wouldn't, if you were to go back in time and say, try explaining what a web designer is to somebody who's a farmer in the 18th century. You know what I mean? Like you were saying, like, it's already kind of happened. Like our grandparents, great-grandparents, if you were to tell them, like, oh, people, millennials, we do everything on machines. We don't have to know how to make butter. We don't have to farm. And, you know, like, we are constantly getting, I don't need to go to a library and get information and just pull it up on my phone. You know, so that's how we live today. But yeah, AI moving forward, you know, it's just the next step. It's just the next evolution. Kamal, did you ever?
It's all about perspective.
Did you ever see the movie, The Animatrix?
Yes. Yes, I did. And that movie is one of the movies that actually got me to realize that this AI thing will eventually happen, you know. Yeah, absolutely.
So I was going to say, so for day one listeners, if they don't know, so like there's the Matrix trilogy, which is like the famous movie with Keanu Reeves, but then there's like this spin-off movie called Animatrix, and there's like little subsection stories in it. But long story short, there is one mini story in the Animatrix where it talks about AI at a point where they want to have like human rights ultimately, and humans are like human, and AI is like, dude, we're just as smart as you guys, we just want our rights, like we're not robots, we're not slaves. And it's like it's this whole interesting,
they build their own cities, they have their own constitution and everything.
So like when I hear things like that, like I think that's like far out in the future, but who knows? That might happen in 20, 30, 40, 50 years. It might happen in our timeline or the next one.
That's true. But getting back to, you know, where we are now, it's like right now AI is smart enough to just hold a conversation, you know, and understand inflection and context and to reflect that thing back, you know? And you know, that's actually a good thing. I know it is kind of scary. But it's only scary because we're seeing a reflection of what we are. Because AI is whatever it's going to be, it's going to end up being a reflection of what we are. So if we really want AI to be altruistic and holistic and, you know, non-threatening, we need to be those things now. Because by 2030, 2040, you know, it's like a child, you're like a baby. Like, you know, if you want your baby to be a good citizen, you got to be a good citizen too. So we got to do that because it's going to happen. It's eventually going to happen. I know it gets kind of, but what's really amazing to me is what it takes to actually make that happen. They had to go over trillions of terabytes of data in order to get the AI to understand vocal inflection. Various phone calls. You know, do you have Google Voice? Have you ever used Google Voice?
Heather Madison. So shout out to Heather. So I actually didn't know Google Voice was this good because he was texting me using Google Voice. I thought she was texting me, but randomly it would be like one or two words off, right? And then one time she was like, hey, sorry if my grammar's not perfect. I'm using Google Voice. And I sat there and I'm like this, wow, that's way better than like any other like voice to text software I've ever used.
Yeah, Google Voice, it uses text, it uses voice calls, and it uses voicemail. And it has this cool feature called voicemail to text, where it'll listen to your voicemail and it'll try its best to textualize whatever the voicemail is. And sometimes it's good, sometimes it's not. It depends on who's calling. Like, you know, I'll get a voicemail that says, hi, Kamal, and it'll literally say, hi, come all. You know what I mean? Like the words, hi, come all. It's like, but what's interesting is that Google uses that voicemail feature, the text-to-voicemail feature, to enhance duplex. That's where they're getting all their vocal data from. And also actual telephone calls that are done over Google Voice, they use that information to help build Duplex's machine learning to learn vocal inflection and learn different accents, learn how people talk and the context of various conversations based on who the person is. So it's kind of cool, man. I think it's really interesting how Google put it all together like that.
You know, it's crazy to me. I'm sure if you were to go back when Google started, they're like, we just want to make a search engine, bro. And now,
yeah,
it's like they're on that.
Once you reach a plateau, it's like, okay, where do we go from here? Okay.
Right.
Yeah.
So yeah. We kind of talked about it a little bit, but I have some friends who've been reaching out, and they're like, because you know, Elon Musk isn't the biggest fan of artificial intelligence. I feel like he has a whole feeling of like, have you guys not seen Terminator? Like Terminator was due to artificial intelligence slowly over time until they wiped us out.
Yeah, that's true. You know what I think happened? I think he kind of went full circle. Like, you know, at first he went all out like, you know, artificial intelligence is the way to go. They can do things a billion times faster than humans. And then as he began that journey, he began to see all of the limitations and all of the things that would need to be included into artificial intelligence to get it to the point where, you know, it would be accepted. And then he got back to the human brain. You know what I'm saying? It's like, okay, we're making something to be an alternate version of the human brain. But in order to get that, we actually need the human brain. You see what I'm saying? And then because from some of the interviews most recent interviews that I've seen, he's like, yeah, we decided to go with, you know, all of these optics on the car and all of these, you know, everything. But then we realized that, you know, we will actually need something similar to the way the human brain works in order to successfully prevent, accidents. So it's really interesting. You know, he did the journey. You know, he used to be a fan of AI.
Right.
But now it's more like, we need AI, but it's got to have some, you know, it's got to have some kind of regulator, some kind of governor, you know what I'm saying? So right. It's definitely interesting, though. It's a really interesting topic. And, you know, a year from now, you know, we will have even more information that we could talk about on where AI is going. But I kind of see it as a natural evolution. I think that eventually it'll just be something that everyone just like sunglasses, like glasses, you know, when people first had glasses, you know, I'm sure they were like, this is a magical, device that can allow you, the blind, to see, you know what I mean? It's like, you know, people who are damn near blind, once they got the bifocal, they're like, oh, wow, you know, this is magic. You know, it's like, this can... It's healing people, you know? So I think AI will be the same thing, where eventually it's just something we all just use. And we'll say, well, I can't believe people back in, you know, 2020 even could live without this. You know what I'm saying? It's like, it's one of those things. Like, how did they live without someone calling to make a reservation for them?
Right. Yeah. And now, what's up?
They did it themselves.
So I got a question for you, because I personally think it's good for this market. But when people hear AI, they're thinking, oh, no, they're going to, like you said earlier, they're going to automate it to a point where we don't even have jobs anymore. So,
yeah, that definitely could happen. Yeah.
So come on, do you think AI, let's say 5 to 10 years from now, let's say it's like 100% like this, it's killing the game, right? Do you think AI is going to help create jobs, or you think it's just going to eliminate jobs?
Both, actually, to be quite honest. I think it'll create jobs for people who are creative enough to learn how to use AI. You know what I mean?
Okay.
Like you can say, now that we're able to use AI, I could use AI to do this. And the guy who does that and patents that, or was able to successfully get enough people to subscribe to whatever it is he can conceive, is going to be okay. He's going to have a job. But, you know, just the basic follow these steps to do this thing, AI will do that. pretty much whatever it is, where you just have to follow steps and there's no creativity and there's no, you know, there's no internal human talent or ability that's needed in order to make it work, then AI would be able to do that. So it's just going to evolve. It will, I mean, it'll probably delete more jobs than it creates, but I think we'll find ways around that too. I think eventually everyone will just get a minimum income, you know, just like a base minimum income where you can, you'll be able to buy your food, live your life or whatever. And then from there you have a plateau to create something, right? And then you can create something that could use AI to do something to hopefully make the world a better place, you know?
Right. And, you know, I was going to say, the one thing I'm thinking about, similar to AI, like, I feel like when Facebook and Twitter and, like, those platforms came out, it was like, ah, this is cool, but it's entertaining. And you're not going to make any money doing this. And then, like, now you go to college and you can major in social media. Like, any business needs a Facebook business page or Instagram business page. Like, I think AI is going to be similar where, like, you're going to see some jobs be automated, like, hopefully programmers like us, if we don't get automated too soon, maybe transition into, hey, you used to do Stoke services, now we're doing REST services, now we're doing GraphQL. Who knows? One day it might be like, you guys...
AI services.
So you're going to do AI services. We need AI services that's going to call... Because, like, for my new job, it's like, we need AI services to be like, hey, we're going to call the member in case something happens, or inform them, or update their data, you know.
Yeah, so instead of launching and generating a REST service and creating all of the methods and testing all of that, basically you just say, AI, create a REST service to do this with these methods, and it just does it. You know what I mean? And then we could say, okay, AI, create another service to do this, and it just does it. So then basically we become more like conductors instead of actual coders. Like, the AI could do the code for us. We just tell AI what to do, you know, where to do it, and, you know. But what it's going to take from us is a creativity and a talent from our side. So we just got to be more creative. And one thing that we have over AI is just basic talent, you know, just basic human talent to be creative and just to see a problem and say, oh, you know what? It would be cool if we had this. AI, can you make this? And then AI is, you know, just do it. And then we just keep it moving from there, you know. So we would just have to evolve, basically, as a workforce. Which, can you imagine, like, going to McDonald's and, you know, driving up. And it's like, you know, welcome to McDonald's. May I help you? And it sounds exactly like a real person. Like, you would think it was just, like, some cute preteen, not preteen, some cute, you know, girl working at the McDonald's. I know that sounded kind of crazy, but, you know, I'm just saying, you just think it was some person working at McDonald's, you know, getting your order, but really it's, you know, it's a type of AI just, you know, emulating a human being. You know, that could happen. But, I mean, you know, and it's kind of scary. I mean, it can, you know, but you know, it's never going to be, you know, AI takes over the world kind of thing. I don't think that's ever going to happen. And even if it did happen, they would be smart enough to do it where we wouldn't even know it. You know what I mean? It would be like some nanotechnology that is just in the air that automatically hijacks the hippocampus and the visual and all of your senses to where you wouldn't even know.
Right.
You wouldn't even know. You would just live your life as regular, but, you know, just be co-opted and wouldn't even know it. Yeah. And who's to say that hasn't happened? Another interesting thing, just one thing, this is something I thought about a lot, is time travel. Now, let's say if time travel ever happens, who would be smart enough and intelligent enough, or you know, who would be intelligent enough, fast enough, and not have any limitations like a physical body in order to actually do time travel? It would be AI. So AI would be the first entity to ever do that, if it's even possible.
No, I got something to think about. Now, you know what I would like to use AI for? Because, like, when I saw Google Duplex, the first thing I thought to myself, I'm like, yo, I'm sorry, Sharon, but you might get replaced. And she knows it might happen. I'm looking for people to co-host for a few episodes. And it's 2018. And I was like, man, it'd be awesome if I could just talk to, you know, like Google Assistant and Siri, definitely not anywhere close. But I was really like,
well, I think all she really needs is just an upgrade on her voice. You know, there's Google has a bunch of voice packages that you could use for text to speech.
Right.
And, you know, you could just, you know, tell her you're going to upgrade her voice to make her sound more, more human-like. Have you seen the latest Solo movie, or the latest Star Trek movie, Solo?
Yeah, I saw that one.
You know, in that movie, it's kind of funny, in that movie, Lando Calrissian was played by Donald Glover, who did a masterful job, by the way. His robot is a complete AI robot. Not so much so that, you know, in the movie, you know, she's actually fighting for robot rights in the actual film. I thought that was kind of cool, you know.
Right, she kind of smart. Spoilers to any listeners, but yeah, she does like the.
That's why that was just. I mean, there's a lot more to it than that, but you know, I kind of kept it light.
Right. Okay. But yeah, like I was saying, man. Like for me, like I would love. Like I think AI is gonna be really cool when it comes to collaboration, and kind of like what you were saying. For me, when I start as a software developer, you know, I didn't need to know machine level development. I didn't need to program in assembly because they've already built the tools where, like, they were like, Caleb, all you need to do is create a service and then hit that service. And I see AI being a tool where, like, people are going to use it to collaborate. Like you were saying, like, you're going to be a conductor. You're going to be asking somebody, I want an AI assistant. That's really what I want.
Yeah, absolutely. And you could do that. I mean, if you had the time, you could make scripts to do that. Like, if you wanted to just say create a new REST service, you could just, you know, create a script that's voice activated that says create a REST service with these methods, and it will do it. It will, you know, it will run all the commands, the Maven archetype generate, you know, it could create the methods involved, create the unit tests involved, and at least create a stub, you know, web app to build that. I mean, that is possible. Although, you know, I kind of like the joy of actually doing that myself. You know, that's kind of the fun I get out of it is knowing, you know, I built this thing, you know, with my bare hands, you know, instead of just telling some AI to do it.
Right.
But I think that's the next evolution. We just got to stay a step ahead of the game. I mean, we know it's coming. And I think unit tests, the popularity of unit tests is driven by the fact that eventually we won't even have to actually write the code ourselves. We would just write the unit test, and then the unit test could generate the code. Like if you write a unit test well enough, you know, defining what you're going, what's going in, what's coming out, you can generate the method or the group of methods or the implementation that you're testing based off of the unit test.
Right.
That could be like 2020, 2021. You know, we'll probably, as software developers, that's probably what our day-to-day will be, is just writing tests on code that's generated from those tests.
Now, here's another scenario for you, Kamal. Now, AI right now, during the demonstration, it was talking about, hey, I can book a hairstyle appointment or book reservations. But at some point, because you're already seeing it with Tesla, but, you know, they have, like, the autonomous cars, right? Drive themselves. Now that I think is slowly getting adoption, but what do you think? Like, would you be in the first flight? They're like, hey, this is the first flight with artificial intelligence pilot. There is no real pilot in the cockpit. Am I going?
I'm sorry to tell you, Caleb, that we already have that. That's already a thing. The actual pilots who fly airplanes, all they do is take off and land. Like AI does everything else. So that's what autopilot is AI. We already have that. So I think the only thing I really would trust a human with is like when it, when something happens out of the ordinary, like, cause I don't think AI has enough data to fully handle that. Like, let's say if the plane gets struck by lightning, right? Or a flock of birds run into the engine, or a gust of wind flips one wing, or, you know, something crazy happens. That's when I would want a human being. That's when I would trust a human pilot over an AI pilot. But looking at data from the last 20, 30 years on airplane flights, AI is pretty successful. We have more car accidents than airplane accidents. And when we do have an airplane accident, it's like a huge deal. It's like, oh my God, an airplane actually crashed. What the heck? You know what I mean? So it's like, and things like that, where it doesn't require, it's like on the street, so many random things happen on the street. You got cats running in, out in the street. You got people on bicycles who, you know, make crazy maneuvers. So human human dexterity is needed more than with an airplane, just a straight shot one place to another. The only thing that we use humans for now when flying an airplane is for landing, and for taxiing, and for taking off. Everything else is done by AI already. So I would feel comfortable with it. I wouldn't, you know, I actually like that kind of thing. I think it's kind of cool, but I'm weird like that. You know what I'm saying? Now, I would never like want to have just a total AI world where everything is AI, because, you know, I need to have human contact, but I wouldn't mind AI doing a couple of things that, you know, I don't like doing. If there was a way to get AI to, you know, like do my laundry, that would be dope. You know, or you know, something like that. But, you know, I trust it. I have to say that I'm one of the people who actually trust. It's not the AI that I trust. It's more the people who create the AI, right? At the end of the day, they're actually people thinking about all of the edge cases and the way the thing could mess up, and, you know, how to mitigate those issues. So I don't know. It's you know, it's something that I probably won't know until we actually cross that bridge too, you know. So I mean, would you take a, I don't even know if they do that anymore. Like, you know, Uber used to have the AI taxis. Do they even have that anymore?
Well, okay, so I did a episode on that one, but yeah, long story short, so ever since they had that accident in Arizona, they shut down the program because they were, one, Uber is fighting a lot of different corporate things, and that one didn't really help their image. But I think they just went back into the lab and figured out, like, hey, okay, we made a mistake. But I saw somebody put out an article, and it was a very good. They made a very good point, like you just said about the airplane. But like, dude, there's car crashes every day, and you only hear about one Uber car crash. Like the number game, like the numbers don't lie. But yeah, man, like technology's pretty crazy. But hey, well, you know, we gotta wrap this one up. Come on, thank you.
Yeah, we could talk about this for hours. So, you know, maybe, you know, in a couple, maybe next year sometime, we can bring this one back out, because there's always a lot of great things to talk about as far as technology. AI is just one of them.
Right. And yeah, like we barely scratched the surface, you know, like we can talk about AI and blockchain. We can talk about AI and development. Like, like you said, it can go on and on. So yeah, I definitely did do another episode like this in the future. But before we wrap up today's episode, do you have anything to say to the listeners, or anything you want to shout out, or let them, you know, where can the people find you, Jamal?
Just keep listening, you know, just keep listening, you know, and my app, Auzio app, that's what I'm promoting right now, auz.io, and it's an app where you can listen to music, even the latest things that just dropped last week, you know, you'll find them on there, and it's kind of cool.
Awesome, man. Well, thank you again for being on the podcast, Jamal. We appreciate it. We are out. Peace.
The podcast you just heard was made using Anchor. Ever thought about making your own podcast? Anchor makes it really easy for anyone to get started. It's a one-stop shop for recording, hosting, and distributing podcasts. Best of all, it's 100% free. Sign up now at anchor.fm/new. That's anchor.fm/new to get started.